ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 9. And the least will cover chapter text number 4. Where Brahma is speaking to Garbhadakshai Vishnu, offering prayers. The Lord has shown his form, and Brahma is, as we said yesterday, he's where his prayers are headed is he's going to request the Supreme Lord to empower him to do his service. But these prayers are marking the uniqueness of the Supreme Lord from all other beings, all other forms, all other realms. So text 4 reads, "This present form, or any transcendental form expanded by the Supreme Personality Godhead, Sri Krishna, is equally auspicious for all the universes. Since you have manifested this eternal personal form upon your devotees, upon whom your devotees meditate, I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Those who are destined to be dispatched to the path of hell neglect your personal form because of speculating on material topics." Look out, university professors. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Regarding the personal and impersonal features of the Supreme Absolute Truth, personal forms exhibited by the Lord in his different plenary expansions are all for the benediction of all the universes. The personal form of the Lord is also worshipped in meditation as Supersoul, Paramatma, but the impersonal Brahmajyoti is not worshipped. Persons who are addicted to the impersonal feature of the Lord, whether in meditation or otherwise, are all pilgrims to hell. Because, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 12.5, impersonalists simply waste their time in mundane mental speculation because they are addicted more to false arguments than to reality. Therefore, the association of the impersonalists is condemned herewith by Brahma. Paragraph. All the plenary expansions of the Personality of Godhead are equally potent as confirmed in Brahma Samhita 5.46. And he cites departure eva hi dashatanam abhyupetya dipayateva vritta hetu samana dharma yas tadra eva hi cha vishnu taya vibhati govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Rather than giving a direct translation, he paraphrases. The Lord expands himself as the flames of a fire expand one after another. Although the original flame, or Sri Krishna, is accepted as Govinda, the Supreme Person, all other expansions, such as Rama, Nrisimha, and Varaha, are as potent as the original Lord. All such expanded forms are transcendental. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is made clear that the Supreme Truth is eternally uncontaminated by material touch. There is no jugglery of words and activities in the transcendental kingdom of the Lord. All all the Lord's forms are transcendental, and such manifestations are even identical. The particular form of the Lord exhibited to a devotee is not mundane, even though the devotee may retain material desire. Nor is it manifest under the influence of the material energy, as is foolishly considered by the impersonalists. Last sentence. Impersonalists who consider the transcendental forms of the Lord to be products of the material world are surely destined for hell. Brahma has made a lot of advancement since, you know, not knowing who he was and where he came from and so forth. Searching through mental speculation, realizing that's not going to work. Then meditating and engaging in tapasya, and then to seize the form of the Lord, and now he knows all these things. Like multiple forms of the Lord and the destination of those who neglect this form of the Lord. So there's two main points expressed in the verse and the purport. The forms are manifest. When the Supreme Lord does manifest his forms, there's a purpose, whether visible or not visible to the eyes of the created beings, the elevated souls. It's there for auspiciousness. And visible for the devotees, just to show mercy upon the devotees who pray to him, meditate upon him, worship him, serve him. He shows his mercy upon his devotees and exhibits that form. But the Lord exhibiting that form doesn't mean, or it doesn't come about as a result of something material, but it's by his internal potency that he manifests himself. Then there's this other section about personal and impersonal, and Bhagavatam is very strong. Bhagavad Gita is a little more liberal. In the 12th chapter, Arjuna asks, which do you consider to be more perfect? Krishna gives a very broad, liberal answer, says, well, the worshipper of my personal form is more perfect, however, the other process is difficult, but eventually one may come to that position of accepting my personal form through the worship of the impersonal. So here, the focus is not so much on worship, but on meditation. And there are yogis that meditate on, or meditators that meditate upon, the Paramatma feature. There are devotees that meditate upon the personal feature, and there are impersonals that meditate upon Brahmajyoti. There's no worship involved in the Brahmajyoti, because worship means worshiper, worshipable, in the process of worship, and you can't have that. You're going to have everything's all one, so there's no worship. And then meditation is like meditation on an object, and you become the object. Very tricky. That can't happen. Just like one imagines that I become the object of my meditation. Or vimukti manima, vimukti maninas. One thinks oneself to be liberated. In the sense, liberated in the sense of becoming one with, in you know, kevala dvaita, absolute monism. Otherwise, the process of meditation, at least from the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it seems that one who tries to meditate upon the impersonal feature of Krishna becomes decompressed, enters into a state where there's some purification because of abnegation. But such a person still needs to take shelter of the personal form. And that means contact with the devotee or the process of bhakti, and then one can come to the same state of bahunam janmanamante ganavanam prapadyate by contact with bhakti. And because that's the only way to understand or even receive information about the personal feature. The verse is saying, and in the purport it says it twice, those that don't come to that stage, they're meditating upon the impersonal feature, and anything to do with the form of the Lord, they decry it, negate it, say it's material, give it a bad name. Such persons are they're offenders. As mentioned in the previous purport, Pashandis, infidels, offenders. And such persons, they're dispatched to the path of hell. Or, as he says in the purport, impersonalists who consider the transcendental forms of the Lord to be products of the material world are surely destined for hell. Normally we think of destined for hell due to something you do, like sinful. Sinful activity has its consequence. People have a reaction, an adverse karmic reaction. So that's work. But then philosophical concepts can also dispatch one to hell, just having the wrong idea. Like, you know, say, supposing amongst those persons who devotees can associate, there's somebody that does sinful activity. So a devotee is to avoid that person. But supposing someone isn't doing sinful activity, in fact they're doing very nice, pious, and personally self-sacrificing, austere activities, but they have a deviated philosophical conception. That's another beware indication, especially those who are avid impersonals. Because so that's like the more innocent person. I'm not an impersonalist, I'm not a personalist, I just don't know. That's a pretense. Because as far as the standard that scripture gives and Prabhupada repeats, like consistently, is there's the divine and there's the demoniac, and that the divine are those who accept the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, and those that don't are demoniac. And there's this nice comfortable niche that says, well, I'm not sure, I'm an agnostic. I'm not against God, but I'm not for God, so I'll just kind of like hang out. But that's convenient. Maybe it's honest, I don't know. But it's, you know, then one is under the influence of the external energy and the association of such a person and the destination of such a person isn't good. So, because such a person, when they are presented with information about the forms of the Lord, they'll go, oh, that's material. Whether it's the deity form or the scripture form or the holy name form or whatever form. So the verse wants us to know, Prabhupada in the purport wants us to know, that these forms are not products of the material nature. And to think that way is hellish mentality. And the destination of those with hellish mentality is the hellish destination. I want to just touch on a few things. In a very interesting way, departure, eva hi dushantaram abhyupetya. Commonly, Prabhupada would say, you know, from one candle you can light many candles. But here, what he's saying, it, describing it differently. There's a fire, and there's flames that are part of the fire, and those flames of a fire, they expand one after another. So here he's indicating that expansions of the Lord, Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, in this case, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, it's that they're likened to a fire, and there's this flame, that flame, that flame, there's many flames, and they're just flames of the fire, as opposed to one lamp, and then another lamp, and then another lamp. It works, so the importance is to say that they're of the same fiery quality, or they're the same spiritual potency. Although their forms may appear different, they're of the same spiritual potency. So there's three other sentences that are very interesting. Try again. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is made clear that the Supreme Truth is eternally uncontaminated by material touch. And he's repeating that different ways in the purport. Then, there is no jugglery of words and activities in the transcendental kingdom of the Lord. Interesting sentence. There is no jugglery of words, that's clear, in the kingdom of God, and activities. Jugglery of activities? No material activities. Whatever is done is transcendental. There's no material activities. Nor jugglery of words. All the Lord's forms are transcendental, and as such, the manifestations are even identical. Now, what does that mean? They, you know, they have different forms. The message is, while they have different forms, we shouldn't think of them as different entities. That's what it means. It's the Supreme Lord appearing this way, appearing that way, appearing this way, appearing that way, but it's the same Supreme Lord appearing differently. Mm. In that sense, identical. Although of different spiritual forms. Then there's another one. The particular form of the Lord exhibited to a devotee is not mundane, even though the devotee may retain material desire. So we're used to hearing that by contact with the Supreme Lord, one becomes purified. Or the other way around. You can't see the Supreme Lord until you're purified, and when you see, whatever material contamination is taken away by contact with fire an object become fire. So how can it be that the devotee may retain material desire, although the devotee is experiencing the Lord's form? Well, we have our direct experience in the form of chanting of the holy name. That's a form of the Lord, Nama Rupa. Or the deity form of the Lord, that's also not material. Yet we can be in the presence of the holy name, the deity form of the Lord, and somehow very tenaciously cling to our material desires and still be in contact. So that the stage of our realization of the holy name being none different than the Lord, the deity form being none different than the Lord, is not going to manifest. Still, it doesn't mean that the name or the form, the deity form, are material. So that's what the sentence is saying. The particular form of the Lord exhibited to a devotee is not mundane, even though the devotee may retain material desire, nor is it manifest under the influence of material energy, as is foolishly considered by the impersonalists or especially authored by Shankaracharya, where the teaching says, of course, preponderance of the teaching says the forms of the avatars, their manifestations of rarefied goodness that are covering Brahman. But actually, all there is Brahman, and so we can like dismiss the covered, the subtle covering of goodness, or rarefied covering of goodness, and actually it's just Brahman. But we can hear Krishna's Bhagavad Gita because it's like really close to Brahman or something like that. Of course, I'm up there too because I've renounced the world, and so whatever I say, that's also Brahman. I'm as good as Brahman. I'm as good as Krishna. Watch this word juggling. So, in the transcendental realm, there's no word jugglery, and there's no material activities. And Brahma is appreciating that. And the converse is those that don't accept the transcendental nature of the Lord's form, instead they speculate on material topics, neglecting his personal form, their destination is downward. Persons who are addicted to the impersonal feature of the Lord, whether in meditation or otherwise, are all pilgrims to hell. Because, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 12.5, impersonalists simply waste their time in mundane speculation because they are addicted more to false arguments than to reality. Beautiful sentence. So the application point, Prabhupada ends, is it's advised not to associate with those people. Asat sanga tyag e vaishnavachara. Those who are attached to the temporary materialists, their association is to be avoided, or it's a characteristic of a Vaishnava that they avoid intimate contact with such persons. and included in that sangha group is those that neglect the personal form of the Lord. Now, the Bhagavatam is strong. Krishna is being very liberal. There are places in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is also very strong, but there are places in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is very liberal. He counts as his devotees those who worship the demigods, those who worship the Virat Roop, those who are pantheists. Because they're worshipping, and the worship is intended for me, so he just very generously accepts them as his devotees. But then there are places where he's very direct and strong. So this is a very strong statement by Brahma. And he's going to, what's coming up is he's going to create the life forms of those beings who are going to take shelter of an impersonal conception and whose path is destined to hell. Difficult service. Knowingly. So at the same time, when such an opportunity is generated by a creator or some head, they really want the well-being of those persons instead of that other destination. Like a state that creates a prison. They're not like rubbing their hands together saying, "Ooh, let's have a really tough prison. No one's going to get out." They really want that those persons become rectified. But those that insist on not rectifying or being rebellious and defiant, then strong prison. The agents of creation have that difficult service to do. Compassion is a classic that people blame their suffering on God. Why did God do this to me? Why is this misfortune? When, just like this, Brahma's knowingly, he's going to be creating a universe where such people are going to be on a path to hell. He doesn't want to do that. But they're rebellious. They have to have some place to exist, so he gives them a place to exist. So the greater concern is, please rectify yourself. Please take this means of uplifting. So, the part of creation that he gives special attention to is the offspring praja like Narada, where Narada can travel all over and give people bhakti. And therefore such, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, such persons, there's no one more dear to me than such a person. But in this world, by its design, people are rebellious, and it's difficult to find people that want to hear that message of bhakti. Nonetheless, the devotees undergo so much trouble to give that message of bhakti. behalf of the Lord and his disciple succession. Brahma is the head of our disciple succession. So, any interesting purport? Any comments? You have something?
What's your precaution to have association with other persons? Without devotee, every day we used to meet other person too. So how to avoid that?
Here's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, especially for householders, because by nature the householder has occupation, and occupation means associating with all types of people who may not be ones that you would select otherwise as your intimate association. So he explains that polite and courteous exchanges with such persons is not prohibited. It's something that should be done. But what's meant to be avoided is confidential exchanges. Specifically, confidential meaning, you know, what should I do about something? We don't inquire submissively or in a friendly, you know, confidential, intimate way with such persons, because they're misguided. Fundamentally, they're guided by the external energy. So, for a householder, the other type of exchange is not a cause of fall down or debilitation of spiritual strength. In fact, those courteous exchanges can be a kind of service to Krishna, where the other person is seeing, oh, this is a nice person. And by their appreciation, oh, he's a nice person, or she's a nice person. Then, because that person who they're appreciating is a devotee, they get spiritual benefit. So we're giving association in that way, just cordial association, not taking mundane association. The taking of mundane association is the types of loving exchange. You know, here's some food. We don't accept that. You know, they may not appreciate that, but you know, we're not going to eat those things or discuss something in confidence with them. If they come and say, "Oh, you know, the other way around, what should I do about such and such?" In a thoughtful way, we might give some reply to help them move from wherever they are to the next position, not necessarily an ultimate, the way that we would have some exchange with a devotee. So on the positive side, seek devotee association. And on the caution side, don't intimately mix with the non-devotee people in the marketplace or in the workplace or in social gatherings. Or cordial, polite, and thoughtful about what our higher mission is. If Krishna gives me some opportunity, I would like to share his message with some sincere person. And then you're giving association rather than taking. Anything else?
Gurumaharaj, when you were talking about retaining material desires, because it doesn't really make, because we usually retain something good, we don't like to retain something bad, but the tendency is that we're retaining those material desires. So I was wondering, at least I'm observing when the suffering is strong, the tendency is to find immediate shelter, or happiness and material things. So is that where this retaining tendency is coming from? Because I'm just curious to know, because why is, although the intellect level at least, there is this understanding that we shouldn't retain the bad things, but why is that? How strong is it?
Why is it strong?
Yeah, is it because the suffering is more? That's, or
The premise of your question is something that's puzzling. First, if I understood correctly, your premise is we're going along the path of life, and then there's some difficulty, some suffering, something painful. Mm-hmm. The premise is when that happens, we have a tendency to take more the shelter of material things.
Yeah, because wanting some immediate happiness, or just...
Well, it might be
relief.
The other way.
Or a relief.
No, but that's shelter of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, somebody having alcohol addiction or something.
Mm-hmm.
They get a problem, and so they start drinking, so they just don't like... They numb. They don't have to think about their... But there's another... default, or like, you know, immediately moving to shelter of the Supreme when there is some difficulty. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukriti narjana. Those who are sukriti, when there's some difficulty, some calamity, some problems, and something that's causing suffering and discomfort, the Sukriti folks, they take shelter of me. So, it's whether one goes here or there or another place is an indicator of, for, you know, if, as you say, for the observant person, where's my shelter? And we like to think of ourselves as good person. And who likes to think of themselves otherwise? We like to think of ourselves as a good person. Difficulty is a very good opportunity to see where my shelters are. Like the question last night, that as I was looking out, the lady that was over here on the right, or my left, your right, she asked the question, some similar thing about, so it's difficult to maintain a spiritual conception when we're in the company of persons that are unlike us, you know, not interested in pursuing a spiritual conception. It's difficult to maintain. But those are good opportunities, or suffering is a good opportunity to see, where's my shelter? What's really important? Where's my place of safety and shelter? So, like, zoning out isn't taking shelter of some material thing to get a fix. So I can have a feel-good experience in the midst of this suffering.
Mm-hmm.
More commonly, particularly for devotees, is those circumstances of some hardship, something, problem, you turn to Krishna more. It amplifies. And then when that problem subsides, then it's, you know, complacency.
Mm.
That's more common for devotees. There may be some things that we just feel, I can't handle. And so, as an escape, rather than sheltering Krishna, it's like something, some, you know, distracting activity. Let the mind go somewhere and do something that's just like, turn on the television or something, whatever, something that makes one numb. So aside from tendency, there's instruction. That's another place we can take shelter. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama vidati reina bhakti yogyam. In all circumstances.
Yesterday I wanted to ask one question. We from time to time hear about Krishna appearing in four different colors, red, white, yeah, yellow and black. I always get confused about what is this red and white color incarnation.
The name or the form or what?
Yeah, what form do we actually
refer different, to? It's different in different Satya Yugas and different Treta Yugas. It's different. But Hamsa Avatar, Kapila Dev.
So we refer to various incarnations by that color?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yagya and Treta Yuga, the form of the Lord Yagya. Vesh. Various.
Kids, spiritual and environmental home, that when they go outside, they don't contaminate with that material world. Like they grasp everything so fast from outside world. So,
yeah.
And each and every time to keep an eye on them, it's not possible, right?
Yeah, so, keep her locked up. Can't do that. So, create a spiritual atmosphere and make it fun, inviting, happy, by good example, and by contemplating the nature of my child is like this, find out things that they like to do and do that. I was with a family in Chicago suburbs that they had moved from another community in Boise, Idaho. They were there for several years and then they moved to Chicago. And they introduced me to their daughter and said, "She really likes Sunday school." I said, "Do you really like Sunday school?" She said, "Yeah." Said, "What do you like best?" "Coloring." So, give her coloring in relation to Krishna. Somebody else may say, something. So, according to what is the interest, nurture that. And then, as that interest is being nurtured, then other things that help make a strong foundation, spiritual foundation, like chanting. Or, if you have an altar at your home, they may I like offering the incense, or I like ringing the bell. Whatever it is, you nurture that. And they can look forward to doing that together. And then you're doing as a family, and it's part of, by example setting, they're doing with you. And then you just embellish with other things that are also substantial. And then it's taking the medicine that has the honey along with this rest of the medicine on the spoon. Mm-hmm. They take it regularly. Happily. And it becomes part of their life. It's the same for adults. It's the same principle. You find somebody and you get to know them, and what do you like? Okay, let's do that. I'll help you. Right, I know a little bit about that. And here's some other resources of other people that know a lot more about that than I do, and you nurture that. Then, you know, the next thing you know is, well, hey, can you tell me something about, you know, why you offer your food? What's going on? Oh, sure, I can tell you about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, can I learn how to do that too? Yeah, I can learn how to do that too, sure. Mm-hmm. Real simple. I'll come to your home, we'll cook some things real nice, and then I'll show you how to do it. You can do it in your home. Oh, you can do that, that'd be great. Just like, you know, in a natural way. You're meeting them within their comfort zone, you're supporting something that they have some interest and attraction to, and then, you know, just it becomes embellished as you go along with things that they're you see that they're comfortable with. They have some curiosity about, or they have some attraction to, or something. On the basis of that relationship that you have, and you're nurturing their whatever it is that's stirring inside them. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.